Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 176 of the Nerd Cantina Show. And I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap this week's nerd news. Beginning in entertainment, we're going to give a quick spoiler-free thoughts on Venom 2, discuss the House of Dragons trailer, and then a bunch of Marvel news with the Scarlett Johansson Disney lawsuit settlement and maybe a director's cut. Then we'll move over into tech news with an update to a story on some ransomware, some search warrants for your keyword history, and then a big segment on the huge global outage for Facebook, as well as the whistleblower claims at Congress. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and welcome back to episode 176. Steve's back home. We, once again, we're in local proximity. We've never recorded together in the same place. That's just too much for us to do. But we got a stupid amount of golf done in a couple of days. Went a quick trip together. And now Steve's back at home. We're ready to do this thing. How you feeling?
Pretty good. I was quite sore after that much golf. It was amazing how that much golf can take it out of you. But one thing that I did get to do before I went to Oklahoma was go see Venom 2. And because of all the golf, I once again failed to write anything down. But here it goes. Meh.
Is like, it more meh than the first one or less meh than the first one?
It's less meh than the first one. The first one had some really, like, just fundamental filmmaking, like horrible shots and bad, right? Like it wasn't as bad as the first one, I thought. But it still kind of fails to be a good movie. Like it felt a little campy at times, and you know, there were some good things about it, I'm not gonna lie. Like, you know, there were times where it was an enjoyable movie, and then there's other times where it was like, oh Jesus, like really? Yeah. But I mean, mostly, you know, there's already a lot of buzz going on about it now. It's only a matter of time before the cat's out of the bag. But the mid-credit scene kind of makes up for everything. It's definitely wait for like free viewing kind of movie.
Really?
But you're going to get that part spoiled eventually. Like it's bound to happen. There's no way you're going to be able to keep that under wraps long enough for you to wait for a streaming cut of this movie at all.
All right. Fair enough. I've yet to have it spoiled. I say I'm going to consider seeing it. Let's be honest. I'm not going to. So I'll just continue to miss the theaters, skip the theaters until Dune. I will go see that one.
I bought my Dune tickets today.
But all right, so you heard it. That's long story short, meh, might as well wait to see it. But go ahead and ask a friend about the mid-credit scene.
If you like the first one, you're going to go see this one. You know what I mean? But if you wouldn't have paid to see the first one, if you walked out of the theater after the first one, you were like, man, I wish I wouldn't have spent money on that. Don't do this one.
Fair enough. All right. Let's jump into some other entertainment news. And first up, did you get a chance to watch the House of Dragons trailer that came out today?
I did.
Meh.
We'll see. Like,
yeah, it doesn't really give anything.
Got some good actors, you know, and it sets the premise, you know, that it's 200 years before the fall of the throne. And I'm interested to see what stories they kind of tell you. You have some background. They don't really need to lay out too much. The world is already built around them. People already kind of know a little bit about it. So they're just hopefully hit the ground running and put together a really good show. Like I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I think they could salvage something good out of this, right? Like I do not forget the fact that I enjoyed the Game of Thrones before the final season, that there is a lot of like interesting lore and everything else that fed into what was season one and everything else, and all they're doing is going back and revisiting it. There's a lot of goodness that could come from this, so I will watch it. I mean, there's little doubt that
dragons,
I'm going to watch,
man.
It.
There's gonna be dragons. Yeah, come on now, everybody loves dragons. There's gonna be some dragons.
So I'll watch it. Let's see what happens. The trailer, it didn't show very much. It just showed some decent acting, some sword fighting and jousting, things you'd expect.
No dragons yet, though.
No dragons yet, though. Not a single dragon in the trailer.
But you know they're there.
All right. Let's keep this train moving here today. And we've got, they'll do a quick video game story just because the bigger stories that we'll end up spending more time on is some of the Marvel stuff. And there was a story that came out because it was tweeted by the voice actor of Kratos for the upcoming God of War. Was this God of War 5 now, Ragnarok?
Yeah.
So apparently the voice actor tweeted that the game was supposed to have come out this year, and it is not, and it's delayed simply because he had a really bad back injury, had some surgery, had some hip replacements or some hip surgery or whatever it happened to be, couldn't walk, had to go through like extensive rehab. And he said that the studio, just no questions asked, just said, you go ahead and recover. We'll pick up the game whenever you're ready. And that's the cause of the delay. What are your thoughts?
I mean, good job, like, owning up to it. And you know, because a lot of people are just pissed at the developers. And there's a lot of nerds that get bad raps for these delays. And for him to step up and be like, nah, it's my bad. And, you know, the compassionate person in me is like, you know, that really sucks for him. And it's cool that the job kind of is understanding and all that. But then there's the heartless gamer in me that just says, the fuck's your back at the dude, your voice? Like, you can't.
You can't sit in a chair.
You can't lay in traction and just record with a mic. I could do this podcast, you know, strapped into a fucking bed. Like, I just don't understand, like, what's that got to do? Like, does he take, and I'm sure.
He's a big method actor. He's out there swinging axes.
I'm sure there's some voice actors out there to be like, you have to be able to get into your character. You have to, you know, like.
Every voice actor is like Hugh Jackman just running through the studio.
Yeah. Like, you know, but like, I guess throughout all his therapies and everything, he couldn't muster up a couple rah.
You know, what I'm assuming,
read some dialogue, you know.
What I'm assuming is, so you're taking that side of being a heartless person. I'm taking more of the skeptic side of the fact that the studio in no way really gave a shit when he called and said, hey guys, I got this really bad surgery and I'm gonna be out for a while.
Oh, thank God.
They were already 6 months behind, like every goddamn game is.
Oh, and thank God.
They were just like, thank, oh, God. You take all the time that you need. You really focus on yourself here.
Most likely scenario for sure.
100%. That's what I think happened here. I have little faith that a big profit machine of a major game studio decided to say, like, oh, our flagship thing that we pump out every 2 years, we base all of our profitability on this damn game, we'll delay it a full 12 months for one person.
Yeah, no. And that's what I mean. Like, throughout all that rehab, he didn't, there was never a part where he's like, no, I could read these lines.
No, they stopped answering his calls. They're like, no, we won't even entertain it until you're full and healthy. Don't call us for 10 months.
Passages.
So that's either way, we're both terrible human beings with little faith in society, but for different reasons this time. But let's move into some Marvel news. And I think the first one that I want to talk about is the Scarlett Johansson settlement. Now, this didn't even make it into court. We've got a quick recap for somebody who somehow found the show but doesn't know about what's going on here with Scarlett Johansson. But in the end, Disney, you know, they simultaneously released her movie, Black Widow, at the same time as Disney Plus premiere. Part of her contract revolved around a portion of the initial box office sales. Well, there was a lot less initial box office sales due to COVID-19 and the simultaneous release. She believed that was a breach of contract, sued. Other people supported her, like Emma Stone and some other major individuals, even somebody like Elizabeth Olsen, who is still a part of the MCU, came out and like verbally supported what she was doing. It's supposed to go to court to settle this out, but I think we both expected, it never saw a courtroom. Like, Disney's not allowing this to get into the public record.
Oh, yeah. They did not want lawyers to start asking questions and have to release documents and get into the nitty-gritty of all the bullshit. They didn't say how much she got.
Nope. And they never will.
They know, but
it'll get leaked somewhere down the road.
You have to imagine she's walking away happy that she made a stink.
Oh, absolutely. And I wonder, you know, there were so many people coming out in support of like her fighting against the big machine of Disney and all these streaming services that are not properly compensating actors in these streaming packages and everything else. And, you know, people thought like this is really where we're going to take the fight. I wonder what they'd say now, like to look at ScarJo and kind of say, you know, good for you. You got paid. Or is it more like you were supposed to be the champion for us, for like for the Actors Guild to set a precedent on how we do profit share in the streaming world?
It's still a win. So you figure it's better for the acting community because hopefully streaming services won't try to pull this shit in the future. You know, like you could still take it as a community win, I guess.
I suppose. I think I there's probably a lot of people that were really hoping that this was just going to go all the way to court and that she was going to make a big enough of a spectacle of it.
Well, I mean, then everybody's support was disingenuous because if she got paid, that's what everybody wanted her to get paid, and she just got paid. So everybody wins. Like if she gets paid and you're like, oh, well, and you're salty in any kind of way, then you weren't a supporter because you were supporting her getting paid. Like
right. Again, I have a complete lack of faith in humanity, and I truly believe everybody wanted her to set the precedent for the industry more so than they cared if she got paid for this single thing. You got to think, like, most people are probably looking at it and saying like, oh, she still got paid $20 million for this movie. Like she got paid already.
Yeah, but like, you know, she made peanuts on the original contract for Black Widow for all those other movies. This was supposed to be her big payday. She earned it. You know, it's, you don't want to see the quarterback get cut on his payday year. you know, she put in the work. She deserved a big payout at the end. And I'm glad she got it. You know, Disney's got enough monies. They don't need them all.
I think in the end, I think she's well compensated probably for this movie. She wins. It is still probably a victory for actors. Just maybe not the one that I think that I understood that people were looking for. Either way, we got some more Disney news, and that's so the Thor 2 director, I forgot his name already. Was it Alan Taylor?
Alan Taylor.
Yeah. So Alan Taylor, he was doing an interview because he just released that new Sopranos prequel movie that he came up with. And in an interview, he talked about how he was really cheering for Zack Snyder. He loved the concept that like there was a director fighting to bring his movie within his vision, not the studio's vision, and got paid for it. Like, it was given millions of dollars to redo it in his vision and to have it come out. And he just said like, that's what pretty much all directors would love to do, to get paid again, to rework something that they put a lot of work into to make it, you know, to represent what it was. And he talked about how he doesn't expect Disney to ever give him that phone call and ever give him that chance. But he believes that Dark World had a completely different tone, completely different movie as far as the direction that he was trying to take it. And then Kevin Feige kind of came in somewhere mid-production and said, oh, we're definitely taking this a different direction. We're taking this a different direction, different tone. We're setting things up differently, and we're going to rein in your movie a bit.
I want to see it. I'm not going to lie. I want to see it.
I know, because nobody likes this movie. Right? I mean, it's okay. It's entertaining. It's just not a great Marvel movie.
Like, I'm interested to see what he would do, because I would enjoy it if it was better, and I'd be shocked if you could make it worse. Like, I would absolutely be shocked. Be like, wow. He really made this movie way, way, way worse. Like, I don't understand. I don't think that you could do that. So I would love to see. Yeah, I think, like, why not do this? Like, you paid him to do this movie, and I understand this, what you released. But later on, if you could make more money again off of a finished product, where all you have to do is do some editing and like. What is the downside to re-releasing a director's cut of a movie? Like, I don't get they're taking every 80s movie from my childhood and butchering these fucking things and redoing them because they have no ideas in Hollywood. Like, here's an idea. Redo the bad new movies that you just did. Like, second shot.
I mean, personally, I would enjoy watching it too. I would like to see, I would even like to see what are the differences. Like, what I'd like to kind of peel behind, what did the director see and what was the original direction of the story? And then how did they kind of recraft it to fit, you know, the changing phase, whatever that was, movie was probably phase two of Marvel or whatever. I'd be curious to see what the differences are.
Well, and I'm pretty sure Dark World caught like the cusp of like them wanting to pivot the main plot. Cause like what was that red chick called in that movie? I can't even remember, but like they turned it into an Infinity Stone. Like, I don't think that was the original plan when they first came up with that movie and came
no,
up
probably
with
not.
You know what I mean? So like somewhere down the line of shooting, like that's when they started coming up with like, okay, we'll do Thanos as the main villain eight movies from now. We'll do, you know, and they're like, hey, you know, and right when they thought of that, they, dude was probably like oh, in the it, middle just... of making Dark World.
I would hope that they didn't, because you would hope that they caught it then to say, oh, this is a terrible idea to stick the Infinity Stone in Natalie Portman or whatever her character is or whatever.
You know, yeah, like, so that's what I mean. So I really think that during that movie, they wanted to pivot, and I'd be really interested to see what movie he was originally making before Marvel was like, no, we gotta go down this new set of tracks here. We got a station we're trying to get to.
Well, either way, I don't think it ever happens. As much as Disney loves
start the hashtag,
free money,
motherfuckers.
As long as Disney loves free money, I don't think they're going to want to muddy the water of their beloved MCU.
Nope. Give me the Dark World director's cut. I want it.
But we can keep chugging along here and get out of entertainment. Let's move over into a little bit of tech. We got a couple of topics here in tech. One first one, it's just a rehash of an older story. So we talked about this initially when it first happened. And this was a ransomware attack that happened in a hospital that shut down a hospital system. They were not able to access any of their computers, any of their files. This took place in, I think it was late 2019. Is when the initial hack happened. And apparently since then, there's been a woman who has been suing the hospital and trying to blame the cyber attack for what ultimately was the death of her baby. It's kind of a grim story. I guess that's what we'll do this first in tech. But so the baby was born because of their inability to have access to all of their systems. They lacked the access to certain testing equipment and certain things that they would have done had they been able to fully admit her the way that that they would have otherwise. By not running that test, they failed to recognize the fact that the umbilical cord was around the baby's throat. They did the normal birth, ended up that the baby had brain damage due to the umbilical cord, and then died 9 months later. So she has been suing for the death of this baby, and it's being credited as really like the first cyber attack. Like death, the first recorded death of a cyber attack.
Well, and I hope they catch these guys, because that would put a lot of pressure on these hackers to just show that it's not just ones and zeros and bitcoins and nobody's getting hurt and this and that. Like, your actions had severe repercussions. So, man, I hope they get this dude and they try him for murder.
Yeah. You mean go to Russia and get him?
Yeah.
Or go to China? I don't remember which. Which country was blamed for this one? Probably Russia, because it's a ransomware issue. But yeah, even if you do sue them and they are able to link it back.
Even like a country like Russia has, you know, even if they just hung this dude out to dry and murdered him on the sake that this story is kind of bad, you know, and they would get bonus points for sure for... Like, we found the dude, we put him to justice. Like, I could see any country, because of the loss of a life, going and saying, you know, no, we're gonna string at least one dude up for this.
Maybe. Again, little faith. I don't think Russia or anybody, I don't think they're gonna care. They're not gonna look to find this person. It's almost impossible to trace this back. So at this point, it's just really elevating the attention to this, just trying to express the fact that, hey, these are things that need to get solved. Our critical infrastructure, you know, hospitals being a part of our infrastructure, a necessary service, needs to be better protected. It can't just be up to this local Spring Hill Regional Medical Center to take care of their own cybersecurity, because ultimately there's going to be gaps. They're going to fail. And when it happens, there's significant impacts to the community.
For sure. I mean, if anything, that's what, you know, hopefully a story like this does, is brings attention to, man, just like how rampant and how severe these kinds of hacks have become.
All right. Let's see if we could find not happiness. We're not going to find happiness in any of our stories in tech today, but let's see if we could at least find some liveliness outside of that grim story there. But let's jump into something that's really kind of interesting in the fact that the government, apparently, so this is being reported by Forbes. This isn't some, you know, some small little hack newspaper. This is a well-cited and sourced article talking about how the government has been secretly giving orders to Google to identify people who searched for a very specific. So they got a search warrant regarding a sexual assault on a minor that they were able to say that anybody in the United States who searched for that assaults the victim's name, address, or telephone number into any Google search platform, right? And that's not just into Google, but anything that Google owns, that's a search. Like you've got your phone, you've got all kinds of different ways that you search that routes through Google. Any of the instances of that the government ordered Google to identify who made that search and what their IP address was, so that way they could locate them and then further investigate that individual. And while, again, it's a terrible crime, sexual assault of a minor, and people talking about it and discussing it on the internet and everything else, the search warrant is the topic of discussion here, and this seems terrible.
Yeah, I don't like it, and I'm struggling right off the top of my head to think of like many instances where it would just go horribly bad, but because like searches or anything, like you always joke around about when you type stuff into Google, like the FBI is watching, better not type in nothing too crazy. Like you always kind of like assume that, you know, but to think that, I don't know, like if there's some random, you know, red thimble serial killer out there and you're just a random lady looking for a red thimble on Google in the same kind of 50 mile search area of this serial killer, that you're going to get drawn up as a suspect just based on, you know, like, I don't know, man, this is just really weird.
Yeah. It's a weird way to go about getting like an actual, you know, some kind of federal judge, because I imagine it has to be federal in order for it to span across states and everything else, to get a search warrant to identify people and locate them by their computer just because of them typing a string of words into a search that meets the criteria for the search warrant. Yeah, it just, I feel like it could really snowball in weird directions from there. And fundamentally, I just don't like it. I hope they catch whoever the hell did this. I hope this didn't help them.
I want to know what judge issued the search warrant too. I don't know enough about law to fight this, but it seems like this shouldn't even be like allowed. Like it doesn't fall under like search parameters. You know what I mean? Like, cause it's such a wide net. Usually like when you get search warrants, it's for a specific kind of like thing, and you're not, you know, to just search Google history. Like it's such a, it casts such a wide net. It seems like no judge would allow such a thing. Like, I don't know. This, man, it's fucked up.
It is. But it continues to show, you know, the direction that, and the use that tech can have, there, that governments can use. It may not always be in line with what we want. And just hopefully some people are paying attention to this. It's not that we're going to solve this specific issue or whatever else. And like I said, I honestly hope that this individual person was caught, or whoever, victimized this young woman. But I just hope this doesn't become the precedent. This doesn't become kind of the lazy way that we just scour people's search histories to see if they searched for some, you know, some kind of crime, or they put into Google Maps a location that a crime took place, and they're going to go ahead and get everybody's location and information just because they typed in an address that a crime was later committed at, or something like that. Like, that's a very weird overreach, although it's perfectly in line with this kind of concept.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is a tool that they all want in their arsenal when it comes to fighting crimes. It just makes their job easier, you know, and yeah, it just, I just have a problem with anything that just takes regular people and sheds them in a criminal light. Like, there's nothing worse than just being innocent and being accused of some kind of crime or something petty. Like, it's a horrible feeling. And innocent until proven guilty is one of the foundations of our judicial system. And
yeah,
again, it just casts such a wide net that it makes it feel like you're just assuming people are guilty before you even get to some kind of justification. It's messed up.
Well, I have to agree, but we'll continue to talk about these things as they come up. Hopefully we don't hear anything more about this, and hopefully other activist groups like Boing Boing and EFF or whatever else, hopefully they key into this as well. I'm sure that they already have, but let's move on to some other weird tech stories. And we've got the two big stories on Facebook to kind of end things out here today. Let's talk the whistleblower first. So today, as we were recording this, or actually, I guess it was yesterday, the whistleblower for Facebook, an ex-employee who has brought suits against Facebook, spoke at Congress about kind of accountability over at Facebook. And really, she's alleging that Facebook knew about the damage that they were causing to society. Specifically, like the one that's probably cited most is studies that apparently, like, Facebook did an internal study that came up with a result that, like, Instagram was directly related to increased depression and mental health on girls 16 and younger. And Facebook just kind of, they gathered that data themselves and just thought, that's interesting, and did almost nothing about it.
I mean, didn't we already assume all this, though?
Right.
Like, isn't this just confirmation of things that we kind of already knew and assumed?
Absolutely. That is something that we know that they don't care. The only thing I found interesting is that, like, they did the test themselves. Like, they did their own research.
But that's just like every oil company has that memo. Like, every cigarette company has that test they did in the 50s that showed cigarettes were bad for you, but they didn't give a fuck and they kept selling cigarettes. Like, every shady industry has this memo.
Like, I mean, that's true. It's true. And
they're no different.
The interesting thing about this lawsuit, too, is that it's being brought, and it's not being brought, like, in any kind of criminal way that Facebook, you know, is harming people or whatever else, because the truth is that's not something that it can ever really be proven. That's not something that Facebook can be charged with. So they're filing it and suing them as an SEC claim, stating that they failed to inform investors. Essentially, the lawsuit is saying that, hey, you knew that you were harming society. You knew that extremism was growing within your ranks. You knew that you were damaging 16 and younger girls with mental health. And you failed to tell your investors so that way they can make an informed investment decision on whether they wanted to put their
money
into your company.
Which is so fucked up, because, you know, the fucking
they
investors.
They don't give a shit.
They don't give one fuck. If anything, they would have doubled down on their investment. They're like, oh, this is that bad for you? Oh, people going to love it. it's like getting Al Capone for fucking tax evasion.
Yeah. And that's what's very interesting about the roundabout way that we have to go and hold corporations accountable. And really, that this was the best attempt. It's probably the only way that it's going to stick, because they can actually prove that Facebook knew information that could have given them bad publicity, that could have caused a banning of underage people on the platform or something, and they didn't inform investors. That actually might stick. Like, Facebook might have to pay a big fine or whatever else. But just like the story we talked about last week, you know, they paid billions of dollars over the minimum fine last time just to make it go away. They'll
Yeah,
be capable of doing something again.
Every government entity is now seeing their new cash cow.
Yeah.
We need extra funding. I could just go beat that Facebook pinata. Some more dollars will fall out.
But the whistleblower herself, she really went after Mark Zuckerberg pretty hard in her testimony. Really just highlighted the fact that, like, Mark Zuckerberg runs everything. He's the weird of all these big, multi-billion, hundreds of billions or trillion-dollar companies that exist in Silicon Valley. Facebook's an interesting one in the sense that it's the only one that's still owned by the original person as the head chairman and the CEO. He owns 55% of the company, so nobody could ever tell him what to do. Like, he has all of the votes, or all the votes that matter. He has 55% of them. And he's the only CEO, he's the only founder of any of these tech startup companies that still maintains that level of control. She's just saying that Mark Zuckerberg absolutely knew the results of these things. So you got to kind of blame him when he doesn't take action on it. And she's not wrong.
Yeah, I just don't think anybody thinks it's that big of a deal. You know, like, it's the world's just going to keep on churning. People have been trying to blow the whistle, including ourselves, on these huge, tech companies, and nothing seems to be working, man. People just keep scrolling away.
Yeah.
I just don't know what you could say almost at this point that would get people to be to think about the ramifications of social media.
Well, we can just make a slight turn from there and talk about this big Facebook outage. So on the same day that the testimony was going against Facebook, oddly enough, there was a 6-hour global outage of everything Facebook. So we're talking about, like, actual Facebook, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, like the Oculus VR headsets, which is owned by Facebook. Everything that is Facebook, dead for 6 hours yesterday.
It's funny. It's like Zuckerberg's like, oh, y'all want to fuck with me? All right, here, I'm going to fuck with you. And then just watch the world freak the fuck out.
I just think he just didn't want people talking about it and posting it on their walls during the 6 hours that that she was testifying. So he just shut it all down.
I mean, that's not far off either. Which would be so crazy just to think that, just so people wouldn't talk bad about his company and everything on Facebook, that he would just shut it down till he thought it was long enough for people to forget.
No, but
which 6 hours sounds about right. Sounds about right.
Yeah. Ultimately, it was really just an IT support issue. It was a DNS issue on their servers, and it was really their main server that kind of acts as the hub. So all of their services received the same problem, whatever the line of code is, whatever the IT person did. And then it took them forever, or 6 hours, to get everything back up because the local techs lacked access to actually go make the changes necessary to fix what was pushed down into their systems. And it just caused a prolonged period. So in this instance, you would think it would be something malicious or it'd be something terrible, but no, just a run-of-the-mill casual error by the IT team there, shutting down the world's largest tech company.
Yeah, you'd hope that it was like some band of idiots hack the planet.
Nope, not this time. Just incompetence.
Yeah, and it is funny how, like, one thing on a server goes wrong, shuts it all down. Every influencer just freaking out.
But that's really that's a week in news here. That takes us through all our tech. Nothing
throughout
space.
Throughout the vastness of space, not much happened this week.
Nothing that caught our attention, at least.
I hope there's some space nerd out there going like, you dummies.
You idiots.
something happened. How could you not know?
No, I'm sure if we would have looked, we would have found some kind of continuation of the Bezos-Elon feud or something like that. But
he is putting William Shatner in the Blue Origin and shooting 90-year-old William Shatner up in outer space.
No, he's not, is he?
Yes, he is. That is the story.
How did you not put that on the...
I don't know. I don't know.
In space news...
In space news, 90-year-old William Shatner will be going on the next Blue Origin flight to somewhat outer space because they're not going to consider him an astronaut still.
Whatever. I love this story. And good on you, Jeff. give the fans what they want.
I know. He's just reaching for some brownie points right now.
I'll take it. I hope they give him some kind of like special, you know, suit to go. I don't even know what they wore. I don't think they wore space suits or whatever.
I almost got a little like pee because I saw the interview with Shatner and they were like, and Shatner's quote was something like, "And this just proves that you're never too old to try something new." And I was just like, "Yeah, if you're rich as fucking William Shatner, you dumb motherfucker." Like,
I hope William Shatner like just breaks nerd internet and shows up for that flight in a red shirt.
That would be great.
And just like everybody's like, "No, don't get on that rocket."
It would be like, funny, but he ain't showing up in no red shirt when he's got that gold shirt sitting there.
Oh, I know.
He's got to bring something from Star Trek into space with him. If not, he's a dick. You know, he's just going up there. He's hoping to see some green titties. That's what he's hoping. He's like, "It's been a long time since I've been on a rock with some green titties." He's out there searching.
All right. Well, now we've finished our weekend news.
So, I saved the space. Yeah, I saved the Nerd Cantina space program.
There you go. Contact Neil. Tell him we're legit.
Yeah.
We're talking space again. But yep, as always, thanks for listening. Let somebody else know about the show. Let's see if we can find one or two or 10 more people to listen next time. And just continue to join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community for the good times that are always being had over there. If Facebook's alive,
yeah, so will that group be. If it's up and running.
Yeah. But that's all we've got for episode 176. Until next week, talk to you later, nerds.
See ya.